Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And they knew him in the breaking of the fish. Now that line is not in the story as we just read it, but it could have been. They did know Jesus at that moment when he broke the bread and the fish. They knew it was him. Fish have an important place in the Christian story. Because of that, to this day, we still use fish as a symbol of Christianity. You may have one of those pins, it's a fish, or have a fish on your car. According to tradition, Christians, during their persecution by the Roman Empire in those first centuries, used the fish symbol to mark meeting places and tombs and to distinguish friends from foes. According to one ancient story, when a Christian met a stranger in the road, the Christian sometimes drew one arc of the simple fish outline in the dirt. If the stranger drew the other arc, creating the full fish, both believers knew they were in good company. And the initial letters of the word, the first initials of this phrase, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, spell out the Greek word for fish, ichthys. As well, water baptism caused some to think of Christians as fish. Second century theologian Tertullian put it this way, "We little fishes, after the image of our fish, ichthys, Jesus Christ, are born in the water." Right? Baptism, water, fish, it's all connected. And all of this comes from the biblical stories, so many. And of course, some of Jesus' first followers, his closest friends, were fishermen. We have this resurrection story today, which in our three-year cycle is given to us on the same Sunday. This third Sunday of Easter is kind of special as far as bread and fish go. Because in year A, we're in year C now, in year A we hear the road to Emmaus story when we're told the disciples recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. The Emmaus story, perhaps better known and better loved. I think of the Emmaus story and the breaking of the bread before the fish stories when I think of my favorite resurrection accounts. But fish are important. Don't neglect the fish. So I was not surprised to see the report in the Episcopal Cafe, an online news magazine for the Episcopal Church, entitled "Standing Commission on Liturgy and Music Adds Fish to Eucharist for Trial Use." In the midst of a busy workday, I paused to read, "The Standing Commission on Liturgy and Music has officially released a supplement to the Eucharistic Rite approved for trial use beginning on Easter Sunday 2017. The supplement allows for the addition of fish to the usual Eucharistic elements of bread and wine." And it goes on to say, this is so good, right? It goes on to say, "Jesus clearly intended not only to break bread with his disciples, but to give them fish," says a representative of the commission. In Luke's gospel, Jesus reveals himself to two disciples in the breaking of bread, the Emmaus story, and then immediately confirms, and this is part of the Emmaus story, but we don't always think of it, confirms his bodily resurrection to all his disciples by consuming some broiled fish. In John's gospel, what we just read, the biblical description of the fish breakfast with his disciples echoes the wording of our Eucharistic prayers. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Since most congregations celebrate the Sunday Eucharist in the morning, the Eucharist should recall not only the Last Supper, but also this first breakfast. I like that. And just one more quote from this story. Congregations may wish to use fish during particular seasons of the church year or on special feast days. The use of fish in Jesus' post-resurrection meals makes fish an especially appropriate addition to the Eucharist during the Easter season. Now, all that is phrased exactly as an article about some sort of trial use for the church would be phrased. So it took me a minute to realize I was reading this article on April 1st. If you go and look this up online, it's fun to read the comments section to this article. Many realized that it was an April Fool's joke, but not everyone. And people did say that. That sounds fishy. After all, given the biblical evidence that fish are important to the Christian story, this idea of including fish in the Eucharist, is this any more surprising than, say, washing feet, as we do on Maundy Thursday? So maybe not every Sunday, but perhaps there ought to be a fish Sunday. I probably shouldn't say that to this group gathered here. Because I might just show up one Sunday and find someone broiling a fish in the garden. But I was glad when I realized it was a joke. Imagine the issues, the type of fish, dolphin safe, mercury levels, and more. It makes gluten-free bread seem really easy. But fish are important. Don't neglect the fish. We've encountered Jesus with these fishermen long before this scene. Did they remember the first time they met Jesus when he called them from their fishing to follow him? It all started with fish. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Or as in the King James Version that many are perhaps more familiar with, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Did they go fishing now to take an emotional break for the intensity of everything they'd been experiencing? Jesus' death, his resurrection, his appearing to them in the upper room and to Thomas? Did they just need a break so they could go back to what they knew, so they go back to it, some fishing, taking a break, but they're not having any luck. They're not catching any fish. Then a stranger from the shore calls out, try the other side. And they do, and their nets are full of fish, again, reminding them of the beginning. The beloved disciple knows it is Jesus. This idea that they were taking an emotional break is what Gary Jones talks about in his commentary on this passage found in Feasting on the Word. Even as the disciples try to take an emotional break from the intensity of it all, there's no going back to how life had been. He states, for even as the disciples retreat to their familiar trade, as we might retreat to the office or the mall or the garden, what they ultimately discover is that Jesus is there. He is waiting to serve and nourish them. Jesus had already appeared to them three times after he had been raised from the dead, we are told. But even in this account, they do not recognize him at first. But by the time he's giving them the bread and the fish, they know it is him. They keep seeing and recognizing him in community. They keep recognizing him as he feeds them. We too need to be in community and be fed the bread of life, eternal life, to see Jesus, to know something of God, to feel the Spirit strengthening us and calling us to follow. Something happens for us here. This is why we've come back again today. Something happens here in this meal of communion and connection. Perhaps it is what Thomas Keating said of the meal of bread and fish that the disciples had with Jesus. He writes, as they sat in silence, consuming the meal, they recognized an unmistakable shift in their relationship with him. A meal together as a symbol of belonging. Before, it had always meant conversation, laughter, and singing. This was a new level of belonging. Their former relationship with Jesus was coming to an end, and a new relationship was being communicated to them at a far deeper level as they sat in silence. These resurrection appearances keep the group together in those first days when the whole movement might have fallen apart, should have fallen apart. In our story for today, Jesus takes Peter aside and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And when I say it should have fallen apart, I'm talking about the fact that it was such a small group. What would keep them together? What would keep them going? Yes, Jesus appears to him, but then as he talks to Peter, we begin to see what's really, really going to keep this movement going and give it the energy and the presence of God and what they're doing all the time. "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, you know that I love you," he says each time. And in reply, each time Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my people." The gift that Jesus gave of himself was not just for this small group or this small group, but for the whole world. Those who had come to know and love him, Jesus, such as Peter, were to continue in his way, to follow and teach the way of Jesus. If it had been an experience for only a few, it would have died. Just as today we see the churches and Christian communities that are most alive are focused on sharing the love, sharing the compassion of God, sharing the care of God with each other and then out in the world. That's where we find our liveliness, where we are alive. Some of us met this past Wednesday night for our parish potluck supper to share a meal and to talk about these things we do, these ministries. And we could feel the energy in the room as we talked about our community, who we are for each other, and who we are for the wider community, for others. This is a place where you can take Jesus' words seriously. Take them to heart when Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Let us pray. Living Lord, you meet us in unexpected places and surprise us with the abundance of your love. Feed us by your word and sacraments, and fill us with your Spirit, so that we may follow you this day and always, through Christ our Savior. Amen.